Chapter 14. Interrupted him boldly, under a sudden conviction that this was the safest attitude to take. With a great flow of words, he complained of being totally misunderstood. Even as he talked, with a perception of his own audacity, he thought that the word misunderstood was better than the word interested, and he repeated it again with insistence. Suddenly he ceased, being seized with fright before the attentive immobility of the official. "What am I talking about?" he thought, eyeing him with a vague gaze. Mistrusted, not misunderstood, was the right symbol for these people. Misunderstood was the other kind of curse. Both had been brought on his head by that fellow Alden, and his head ached terribly. He passed his hand over his brow, an involuntary gesture of suffering, which he was too careless to restrain. At that moment, Razumov beheld his own brain suffering on the rack, a long, pale figure drawn asunder horizontally with terrific force in the darkness of a vault, whose face he failed to see. It was as though he had dreamed for an infinitesimal fraction of time of some dark print of the Inquisition. It is not to be seriously supposed that Razumov had actually dozed off, and had dreamed in the presence of Counselor Mikulin, of an old print of the Inquisition. He was indeed extremely exhausted, and he records a remarkably dreamlike experience of anguish at the circumstance that there was no one, whatever, near the pale and extended figure. The solitude of the racked victim was particularly horrible to behold. The mysterious impossibility to see the face, he also notes, inspired a sort of terror. All these characteristics of an ugly dream were present. Yet he is certain that he never lost the consciousness of himself on the sofa, leaning forward with his hands between his knees and turning his cap round and round in his fingers. But everything vanished at the voice of Counselor Mikulin. Razumov felt profoundly grateful for the even simplicity of its tone. "Yes. I have listened with interest. I comprehend in a measure your... but, indeed, you are mistaken in what you..." Counselor Mikulin uttered a series of broken sentences. Instead of finishing them, he glanced down his beard. It was a deliberate curtailment which somehow made the phrases more impressive. But he could talk fluently enough, as became apparent when, changing his tone to persuasiveness, he went on, "By listening to you as I did, I think I have proved that I do not regard our intercourse as strictly official. In fact, I don't want it to have that character at all. Oh yes. I admit that the request for your presence here had an official form. But I put it to you, whether it was a form which would have been used to secure the attendance of a suspect," exclaimed Razumov, looking straight into the official's eyes. They were big with heavy eyelids, and met his boldness with a dim, steadfast gaze. "Suspect." The open repetition of that word, which had been haunting all his waking hours, gave Razumov a strange sort of satisfaction. Counselor Mikulin shook his head slightly. "Surely you do know that I've had my room searched by the police? I was about to say a misunderstood person, apostrophe, when you interrupted me," insinuated quietly Counselor Mikulin. Razumov smiled without bitterness. The renewed sense of his intellectual superiority sustained him in the hour of danger. He said a little disdainfully, "I know I am but a reed. But I beg you to allow me the superiority of the thinking reed over the unthinking forces that are about to crush him out of existence. Practical thinking in the last instance is but criticism. I may perhaps be allowed to express my wonder at this action of the police, being delayed for 2 full days, during which, of course, I could have annihilated everything compromising by burning it, let us say, and getting rid of the very ashes, for that matter." "You are angry," remarked the official, with an unutterable simplicity of tone and manner. "Is that reasonable?" Razumov felt himself coloring with annoyance. "I am reasonable. I am even, permit me to say, a thinker, though to be sure, this name nowadays seems to be the monopoly of hawkers of revolutionary wares, the slaves of some French or German thought, devil knows what foreign notions. But I am not an intellectual mongrel. I think like a Russian. I think faithfully, and I take the liberty to call myself a thinker. It is not a forbidden word, as far as I know. No. Why should it be a forbidden word? Counselor Mikulin turned in his seat with crossed legs, and resting his elbow on the table, propped his head on the knuckles of a half-closed hand. Razumov noticed a thick forefinger clasped by a massive gold band set with a blood-red stone, a signet ring that, looking as if it could weigh half a pound, was an appropriate ornament for that ponderous man with the accurate middle parting of glossy hair above a rugged Socratic forehead. Could it be a wig? Razumov detected himself wondering with an unexpected detachment. His self-confidence was much shaken. He resolved to chatter no more. Reserve! Reserve! Exclamation point. All he had to do was to keep the Zamyanich episode secret with absolute determination when the questions came. Keep Zamyanich strictly out of all the answers. Counselor Mikulin looked at him dimly. Razumov's self-confidence abandoned him completely. It seemed impossible to keep Zamyanich out. Every question would lead to that, because, of course, there was nothing else. He made an effort to brace himself up. It was a failure. But Counselor Mikulin was surprisingly detached too. Why should it be forbidden, he repeated. To consider myself a thinking man, I assure you. The principal condition is to think correctly. I admit it is difficult sometimes at first for a young man abandoned to himself with his generous impulses undisciplined, so to speak, at the mercy of every wild wind that blows. Religious belief, of course, is a great... Counselor Mikulin glanced down his beard, and Razumov, whose tension was relaxed by that unexpected and discursive turn, murmured with gloomy discontent, that man, Haldin, believed in God. Ah. You are aware, breathed out Counselor Mikulin, making the point softly, as if with discretion, but making it nevertheless plainly enough, as if he too were put off his guard by Razumov's remark. The young man preserved an impassive, moody countenance, though he reproached himself bitterly for a pernicious fool to have given thus an utterly false impression of intimacy. He kept his eyes on the floor. Must positively hold my tongue, unless I am obliged to speak, he admonished himself. And at once against his will the question, hadn't I better tell him everything, presented itself with such force, that he had to bite his lower lip. Counselor Mikulin could not, however, have nourished any hope of confession. He went on, you tell me more than his judges were able to get out of him. He was judged by a commission of three. He would tell them absolutely nothing. I have the report of the interrogatories here, by me. After every question there stands, ephesus to answer, refuses to answer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's like that page after page. You see, I have been entrusted with some further investigations around and about this affair. He has left me nothing to begin my investigations on. A hardened miscreant. And so, you say, he believed in... Again Counselor Mikulin glanced down his beard with a faint grimace, but he did not pause for long, remarking with a shade of scorn that blasphemers also had that sort of belief. He concluded by supposing that Mr. Razumov had conversed frequently with Haldin on the subject. No, said Razumov loudly, without looking up. He talked and I listened. That is not a conversation. Listening is a great art, observed Mikulin parenthetically. And getting people to talk is another, mumbled Razumov. Well, no, that is not very difficult, Mikulin said innocently, except, of course, in special cases. For instance, this Haldin. Nothing could induce him to talk. He was brought four times before the delegated judges. Four secret interrogatories, and even during the last, when your personality was put forward. My personality put forward? Repeated Razumov, raising his head brusquely. Don't understand. Counselor Mikulin turned squarely to the table, and taking up some sheets of gray foolscap dropped them one after another, retaining only the last in his hand. He held it before his eyes while speaking. It was, you see, judged necessary. In a case of that gravity, no means of action upon the culprit should be neglected. You understand that yourself, I am certain. Razumov stared with enormous wide eyes at the side view of Counselor Mikulin, who now was not looking at him at all. So it was decided, I was consulted by General T, that a certain question should be put to the accused. But in deference to the earnest wishes of Prince K, your name has been kept out of the documents, and even from the very knowledge of the judges themselves. Prince K recognized the propriety, the necessity of what we proposed to do, but he was concerned for your safety. Things do leak out, that we can't deny. One cannot always answer for the discretion of inferior officials. There was, of course, the secretary of the Special Tribunal, one or two gendarmes in the room. Moreover, as I have said, in deference to Prince K, even the judges themselves were to be left in ignorance. The question ready framed was sent to them by General T. I wrote it out with my own hand, with instructions to put it to the prisoner the very last of all. Here it is. Counselor Mikulin threw back his head into proper focus, and went on reading monotonously. Question: as the man well known to you, in whose rooms you remained for several hours on Monday, and on whose information you have been arrested, has he had any previous knowledge of your intention to commit a political murder? Prisoner refuses to reply. Question repeated. Prisoner preserves the same stubborn silence. The venerable chaplain of the fortress, being then admitted and exhorting the prisoner to repentance, entreating him also to atone for his crime by an unreserved and full confession which should help to liberate from the sin of rebellion against the divine laws, and the sacred majesty of the ruler, our Christ-loving land, the prisoner opens his lips for the first time during this morning's audience, and in a loud, clear voice rejects the venerable chaplain's ministrations. At 11 o'clock the court pronounces in summary form the death sentence. The execution is fixed for 4 o'clock in the afternoon, subject to further instructions from superior authorities. Counselor Mikulin dropped the page of fool's cap, glanced down his beard, and turning to Razumov, added in an easy, explanatory tone, we saw no object in delaying the execution. The order to carry out the sentence was sent by telegraph at noon. I wrote out the telegram myself. He was hanged at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The definite information of Alden's death gave Razumov the feeling of general lassitude which follows a great exertion or a great excitement. He kept very still on the sofa, but a murmur escaped him. He had a belief in a future existence. Counselor Mikulin shrugged his shoulders. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.